Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is The Path to Unforgiveness and Back. I want to start by saying I feel so unqualified to teach on this subject, but I know this is what the Lord showed me we needed to talk about this week. I really struggle sometimes in this area, and I struggled with it recently, and I begged the Lord to help me for weeks and to give me revelation about it. I know I need to study and show myself approved if I want to receive revelation about something, so I started a study looking at many of the verses in the Bible about forgiveness. I think any area that we struggle with a lot, we will be tested in over and over and over until we can pass the test with flying colors. I keep getting tested in this one, so I must really need some help, y'all. So, although I will say that this very last test, I passed really easily. So, let's look again at the parable of the unforgiving servant, since it is the perfect illustration of what happens to us when we refuse to forgive someone who hurt us. It's found in Matthew chapter 18. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. And I have heard some of the commentaries say that 10,000 talents in that time was an amount that this man could have no hope of ever repaying. It would be like us owing like $1 billion. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Sorry, y'all, my voice is a little bit off. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now, while we're on this, I want to talk about this one other aspect of this real quick. Do you have to forgive them if they do not repent to you? I want to mention something about verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Okay, look at the book of Luke in chapter 17. Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. So, are we only required to forgive if they repent and say sorry? And by the way, saying sorry is not repenting. Saying sorry is just words. Saying sorry is saying, oh, I'm sorry. It may just be sorry that they upset you, but not really sorry for what they did. True repentance is to admit what you did and change direction. Just a side note there. Since God's word has the answer to every question, I will let Jesus answer the question of whether we have to forgive them if they don't repent. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 6:15. It didn't say anything about if they repented or said sorry, either one. So the answer is no, you don't have to forgive them if they don't say sorry, but if you withhold their forgiveness, God withholds yours. And that means at judgment, you will be turned away and cast into hell. Okay, let's be real clear on that. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Being unforgiving sets this spiritual law of sowing and reaping into action. If you sow unforgiveness, you will reap unforgiveness. One of the requirements for us being forgiven our sins is obviously we have to believe in Jesus, that he is the resurrected Son of God, that God, you know, raised him from the dead. He died for our sins and God raised him from the dead. The other thing is we must forgive others. Okay? If you forgive not men their trespasses, meaning what they do against you or against anyone else, and by the way, that does mean things they do against other people as well as what they do against you. Neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That word translated forgive in Matthew 6:15 here means to send away from out of. Now, I was doing this study and I was cleaning my house and I was meditating on this. What, you know, why would we need to send something away out of? And I thought, okay, if we're sending it out of us, then it's something not of us and not of God. Otherwise, we would keep it. So that means what we're holding on to is otherwise of the devil. Okay, because when we forgive, we cast that out. Okay, all right. It means to let go, to disregard, to leave, not to discuss, to let go, give up a debt, forgive or remit, to keep no longer, in order to go to another place. I don't know how it could be much more clear than that. Okay. I found these meanings when I was doing on this study. I started doing this study before this most recent incident happened. But as I was doing the study, someone hurt me. And I was already kind of working on the study because of something that happened a little while back. But another thing happened. I'm like, okay, I really need to do this study because obviously I'm going to get lots of practice at this. And let me clarify something else. Being turned over to the tormentors when you refuse to forgive means that you are turned over to some type of torment. Not that you'll be tormented by your thoughts of not forgiving that person, okay? That torment may be, it could be, the torment that you're turned over to may be that you're sick or you have a disease. It may be constant failure in your life. It may be terrible poverty in your life. It may be that, you know, everything you try fails, nothing works, and you just can't be happy. Only the Lord knows what torment in your life is caused by your refusal to forgive someone else, okay? So let's keep that in mind and keep going. Okay, now, I think of all the people who hurt us, the worst are the ones that we really reached out to and loved. This is what happened to me in both these last, most recent cases in my life. People that we really reached out to in love, that we prayed for, we cared about them, we poured ourselves out in love for them in an effort to make their lives better or to help them in some way. And then that day comes when they misunderstand something you say or they become offended at you for something. And then instead of standing there looking at your friend, you're facing a large coiled rattlesnake striking at you out of the blue. You don't even see it coming with their words, trying to hurt you as bad as they can hurt you. And the very hardest to forgive of all are those who, after you finally work through and do all the work to forgive, they turn around and they burn you again. and again and again and again. And I'm sure you know the type, because most of us know at least one person that does that to us. And I wonder sometimes if God allows that in our lives because we need, like me, need the practice forgiving so it can be, we need to practice this, y'all, until it becomes automatic, that we release it as soon as it comes at us, okay? That's why I think that those people are allowed to keep doing that in our lives, because we need that help. We need that opportunity to forgive and forgive and forgive. All right? It's like when the Lord leads you into the wilderness to teach you how to trust Him for provision, or teach you to have faith in some other area. You will repeatedly, like when I was led into the wilderness to learn to trust Him for provision, and y'all, if you've read the Wilderness Command, you know, it is terrifying to do that. It is so scary when you don't have a paycheck and God's going, okay, I'm going to take care of you. And you're going, how? You know, where? From where? And you can't see where it's coming from. And every day you go get your mail out of the mailbox and there's all these bills, but you don't have any paycheck coming in to pay them. And you just have to believe that He's going to meet those needs. And He takes you through that test in the wilderness over and over and over. I spent, I think, over a year on unemployment that only paid half of my bills when I was in the wilderness of 09 to 2010. And every month, God would have to do a miracle so I could pay my bills. And every month, He did one. Every month, He did one. It was the most amazing thing ever. And I would not trade that time in the wilderness for anything, even though I've never been so scared. I would not trade that for anything. Because now, if I have a need, I can go, okay, Lord, I need you to take care of this. You said you'd meet my needs. And I can lay that bill down and walk away from it and know He's going to take care of it. I don't know how and I don't know when, but I know He's going to do it. And that's what that wilderness, that's the gift that I walked out of that wilderness with in my hand. Every time you go through the wilderness and you pass the test, when you walk out into the promised land, there's a gift in your hands. There's something you gained in that wilderness that you could not have gained anyplace else. Somebody needs to hear this, because this is not in any of my notes. You could not have gained any other way. And that gift is yours for the rest of your life. That faith that I gained in that wilderness, it will never be taken from me. It's part of me now. It's embedded in me. Okay, let me get back on track here. I'm getting out of line here. Okay, so the hardest people to forgive are the ones that you really open your heart to. Those are the ones that are hardest for me, because I don't allow very many people to get very close to me. But when I love somebody, I really love them. And I open my heart and my life to them, and I'll share with them all that I have that is good. And I'll pray for them and intercede and ask God for mercy and blessings for them. And when I'm suddenly slapped down a curse for my efforts, well, it's kind of hard to recover from that pain with, you know, no bad feelings. But I'm working on that. But sometimes, the truth is, y'all, sometimes people that pretend to be your friends are just pretending. They're just fake. All right? They're just fake. And sometimes the people who are in leadership at the church that you go to are fake. All right? And I've gotten many emails from people that were hurt by a church they were going to, and I really didn't know how to relate to that until just recently. That happened to me. Sometimes I've been involved in a church and the Lord has pulled me out of it and just spoken to me and said, I'm done with you there, or I don't want you to give any more money there. In this case, there was a new church here that started up. I helped with it. He had me tithing into it. And then after several months, he spoke to me on a Sunday when I was getting ready to go to church, and he said, I'm done with you there and I don't want you to tithe there anymore. We're done. I said, okay. And I texted them and told them, and they haven't spoken to me since. So apparently, I was just a checkbook. Anyway, sometimes people are not who they appear to be, and those people might be in church leadership. So if this has happened to you, or let me tell you something else too, before I forget to tell y'all this, because there's another case I just heard of through someone else, where someone else is going to a little startup church like that, and they are not getting, their spirits are not getting fed. My spirit was not getting fed either, but I was trying to be supportive. God doesn't just care about the new church that's starting up. He cares whether you're getting spiritually fed, all right? Because He cares about you as much as He cares about those other people. And in what we're living in right now, the environment in this earth, the environment in America, the environment in other nations, I'm sure is the same. You need to have your spirit fed every single day. You, and every week, if you're going to church, you need to be getting your spirit fed. If you're not, you need to be at home or going somewhere where you are getting it fed. And I say at home because I personally can enter into God's presence. I know how to do that. And I know many other people who also know how to do that. I can enter God's presence faster by myself than in any church I've ever gone to. But if you're going to a church where the worship is not good worship and you're not entering into His presence, and then the preaching is not deep preaching and you're not getting any spiritual food, then all you're doing is warming a pew. And you're adding to the head count on Sundays, but you're starving to death while you do it. And God cares about that. All right? He cares about that. Don't think for 1 minute God will not pull you out of a church because you need to have spiritual food, because He will do that. But also, sometimes the leadership of that church or something that's happening behind the scenes is not what He wants it to be. And so He may need to take them through a time of learning to get that straightened out. All right. And because He pulls you out, He can still send other people if that's what He wants to do. Okay, so I just wanted to put that out there. So sometimes people are not who they pretend to be. Sometimes they're just fake and they just want to get something from you. Sometimes people are weak, okay? And they hurt you because they have weakness, all right? And sometimes they themselves are hurting. Sometimes people are very tormented. And, you know, Joyce Meyer used to always say, hurting people hurt people. And that's true. That is very true. People will strike out at you faster if they are in pain themselves. And sometimes people hurt you because they're mentally ill. There's something wrong with them, okay? And they misunderstand things. But whatever the case, forgiving others is what God requires of us. So I was doing this study on trying to figure out, you know, I've taught on this before, and every time I've studied it, I've learned something. But what I was looking for this time was like steps that we can go through to forgive someone. I was like, Lord, I understand how we get into unforgiveness. I don't understand how we get back out. I don't understand how to take this pain and go step by step to release it to you and let go of it. So guess what? That's what He showed me. Okay, so since we're commanded to forgive, and since our very salvation and entrance into heaven for eternity, which we could all enter any day now, being in the end of the end times, any one of us could be called home in the next 5 minutes. And we don't know when our time is up. So we need to have this down, all right? Okay, now, God does repay those who hurt you, y'all. I have seen it time and again. And to the point that I understand why Moses and Aaron threw themselves down on their faces when Miriam and whoever else it was, anyway, they were talking against Moses and Aaron, and Moses and Aaron found out, and they just threw themselves down on their face and began to intercede for them because they knew that God was going to strike them. They knew. God does not stand back and take it when you are trying to be nice to people and they do something terrible to you. For one thing, there's the scripture that says, he who rewards evil for good, destruction will not depart from his house. Now, his house might be his house, or it might be his family, or it might be his body. Destruction will not depart from his house. That is serious. That's what happened to King David when he sinned with Bathsheba. Destruction never left his house after that. The sword went to his house and it never left. So, all right, so our part is we need to keep our side of the street clean. In order to do that, we need to learn how to forgive right away when someone hurts us. Okay, 70 times 7. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. So, if we're supposed to forgive 70 times 7, we need to be ready to forgive at all times. Every minute of every day, we need to be ready to forgive someone. Maybe the someones that we love most of all, since we know that Satan always attacks through those closest to us, right? Because he can do the most damage with the least amount of effort that way. So we need to stay in forgiving mode at all times. We need to live a lifestyle of forgiveness to honor the one who forgave us. Okay, so I want to start by talking, how do we get from zero to unforgiveness? Let's talk about that first, then we're going to talk about how to come back from that. Okay, somebody hurts or disappoints us. Anytime you ever meet someone who's bitter, and all of us have met someone who's bitter, it's that person who never has anything positive to say. They never have anything good to say about anybody. Life is bleak. It's terrible. There's a dark cloud over their head all the time. That's a person who's bitter. Nothing good can come out of their mouth. Okay? And I got into that one time. I always promised myself I'd never get into that, but I got into it one time in that wilderness, that last wilderness that was so hard for a little while. And I recognized it myself, and I was like, ugh. And I still remember it. I mean, it was like not one positive thing could come out of my mouth during that time period. It was terrible, y'all. So Satan sees that someone hurt you. He probably set it up that way. And he starts manning the record player, okay? What he wants to do is keep you from forgetting that they took that jab at you, okay? He wants to remind you all the time. So he starts playing it over and over and over again in your head, whispering lies to you. And we're hurting, so we start to listen to his lies, don't we? You didn't deserve that. That was really terrible of him or her to do that or say that. You would never act like that. Who is that talking? That's the voice of pride talking. That's who that is talking when saying that. You wouldn't deserve that. So we're already hurt. And we begin moving towards anger as the record player keeps playing. And it moves to resentment. We start to resent that person for causing pain because they hurt us. All right? Especially if you were just reaching out to them and loving, you were trying to be nice to them and they hurt you. Those to me leave the just, ugh. Anyway. So the record player keeps moving, keeps going, and we move into resentment. And resentment increases quietly under the surface. Like a wound that's festering and it's getting redder every day. Sometimes for years, for decades. Y'all have met those people and you've heard me talk about that older woman that I was friends with in Princeton. That she would recall stuff 40 years ago that she had not forgiven. Oh, but I've forgiven him. No, you haven't. No, you have not. And I think I told her that one day. Because if you can still recall every detail of what that person did to you and you can still get upset about it, you have not forgiven them and you are lying to yourself. And you are lying to everyone else if you're saying you have. And you need to face the fact that you have not before it's too late for you to face it. When you're standing at judgment is not the time when you want to realize you've not forgiven them, okay? All right, so as resentment festers and that wound gets redder and redder and redder. And see, what's happened when we get hurt like that is Satan has landed a fiery dart. He's landed a fiery dart. And you can sometimes feel the pain in your gut when it hits. I know I can. I can feel it. And I'm like, oh, there's a dart. And God taught me back in, it was 09 or 2010, to pull that out and throw it to the ground and crush it in the name of Jesus and to plead the blood over that wound to make it stop hurting. But you also must forgive or the pain won't stop. Okay, so the resentment grows and festers and becomes anger. And as anger continues to grow, it becomes hard and bitter. And bitterness no longer believes in anything good. It only sees the bad. It cannot even see its own part in the play. It just places blame. When bitterness finally hardens rock hard, it has become a dark, toxic mountain of unforgiveness with deep roots poisoning your soul that tells you everything you feel is somebody else's fault. One of the things that you will find in anyone who is bitter is they are always playing the blame game. It's somebody's fault, it's God's fault, but it is never their fault. And don't you dare suggest it is. Okay, the battlefield is always in the mind. All sin is conceived in the mind. All sin is conceived the same way. When we receive the thoughts the enemy seeds into our minds, when we entertain or let that thought from Satan stay, and we think on it. Unforgiveness is one-stop shopping for Satan. He doesn't need to get you into any other sin if he can get you into this one. Because if he can get you into unforgiveness, he can get you into hell because you become his. At that moment, you're turned over to the tormentors and you are locked into a prison cell, just like the unforgiving servant was. All right? And that door will stay locked and you will continue in that torment until you forgive. Your door doesn't open until you release the other person from the debt that you think they owe you. You want to see them paid back, or you want a repayment for what they've done to you. I got news for you. When somebody hurts you like that, there is no way for them to repay you. And your unforgiveness does not hurt them. 99.9% of the time, they go happily on with their life and could care less that you are hurting. And 90% of the time when somebody hurts you, they didn't even mean to. But sometimes people do mean to. And the last two cases that I went through, they meant to. And it was very deliberate, and it was obvious it was deliberate. But it doesn't matter. Okay, now, this message is going to be too long to do it all in 1 week, y'all. So I'm going to have to do the other half for next week, because the podcast is going to be way too long if I don't. So I want y'all to think about who you have unforgiveness towards. If there's anybody who's, when their name comes up, you just immediately, your blood pressure shoots up, your hair starts to stand on end, and you start to glow bright red, you need to write their name on a list. These are the ones that you need to work on. I'm going to give you the steps that he just taught me on how you can forgive people. And by the way, when you forgive them, it does not mean that you have to go back into relationship with them, okay? It does not mean, there are a lot of people we don't need to be in relationship with. There are people who are, number one, fake. There are people that just want to take advantage of us. There are people who are off balance or mentally ill that God doesn't want us in relationship with, okay? There are people that are just out to hurt us. And he's not necessarily wanting us to have a friendship or relationship with those people. So you can be the judge of that, or you can ask him and he can guide you, but you still have to forgive. Forgiveness is something that happens inside you, all right? It's between you and God, but you have to release that unforgiveness that you have in order that you can get free from the tormentors, and also so you can still be forgiven and get to go to heaven. Okay, so we're going to continue this message next week, and we're going to talk about how to, you've gone on the path to unforgiveness. Next week, we're going to come on the path back from unforgiveness to being a forgiving person. I hope this message has blessed you. Thank you for listening. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where all of a sudden it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are times of great uncertainty and change. They are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many of these wilderness experiences in my own life, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led into the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving your provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax is available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com in print, Kindle, and new audiobook versions. The Wilderness Companion. Don't go into the desert without it. Are there areas of your life you just can't seem to overcome in, no matter what you try? Are you plagued by depression, poverty, anger, lust, or failure? Do you recognize your predisposition to commit the same sins committed by your forefathers? Do you want a better life? Many people live their whole lives under generational and other types of curses without understanding they can be free. Learn what the scriptures say about curses and why they are still relevant today. Learn how to defeat every one of them through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." You can break the curses off your life and start experiencing breakthroughs like never before. Read about different types of curses and how to break them, including anger, a curse that causes angry outbursts in constant anger. Barrenness, a curse that causes miscarriages and prevents pregnancies. Fear, a curse that brings a plague of fear and anxiety. Illegitimacy, a curse that causes lust, rebellion, and sexual dysfunction. Get the book, Loosed from Chains of Darkness, Destroying Curses Through the Power of the Cross. Available now on Amazon.com. In print, and Kindle. Loosed from Chains of Darkness, and be free.